Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 16th of January, 2025, with the latest Indiana farm news, meteorologist Ryan Martin on weather and markets from Wednesday. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller have the news today, including what one Indiana farmer can tell us about the work of the United Soybean Board, and we have more details on the current state of foreign ownership of U.S. farmland. Ryan Martin's forecast, a wild ride in winter weather coming up, and the markets yesterday mixed. We'll have numbers and Tom Pritt's analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Driving demand for Indiana soybeans and how much U.S. farmland do other countries actually own? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The United Soybean Board is off and running in 2025, continuing their pursuit of driving soybean demand through new uses and products. Fort Wayne, Indiana farmer Don Weiss serves on the executive board for USB. He says your checkoff dollars are hard at work.
For every dollar invested over the past 5 years, we have seen a $12.30 turn back to the family farm.
Innovative investments by the United Soybean Board in recent years include getting soybean oil in the soles of Skechers shoes and in Goodyear tires. Weiss says in his time serving the checkoff in Indiana and at the national level, the investments in high oleic soybeans are easily one of the best.
Not only does it differentiate our soybean oil and gives us opportunity in new markets, new end users, but we're also seeing a lot of progress here quickly, including that high oleic soybean into the dairy rations. The reason for that is that we're seeing at the dairy level, you know, that higher milk fat concentration and yield.
Farmers continue to get premiums for their high oleic soybeans, and many Indiana farmers have been taking advantage of that already.
Indiana and Ohio were really the starting point of high oleic soybeans in the U.S. So we continue to be a strong marketplace, the leading marketplace for high oleic soybeans in the U.S. And the premiums have moved a little bit each year, Eric, but at the same time, a lot of value coming back to the farm level by that soybean checkoff dollar that's been invested into this program.
Hear my full interview with Weiss at HoosierAgToday.com. We discuss how he and other USB board members are dedicated to guiding soy checkoff investments across three strategic priorities: infrastructure and connectivity, health and nutrition, and innovation and technology to maximize value for soybean growers.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
A recent study shows a rise in the amount of U.S. farmland that's owned by investors from foreign countries. CJ Miller has the story.
Foreign ownership of U.S. ag land increased by 1.6 million acres, reaching a total of 45.9 million acres, which represents 3.6% of total privately held ag land in the United States.
And that's Danny Munch, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says only a small portion of that farmland is owned by China and other adversarial nations.
Interestingly, land ownership by Chinese, Russian, and Iranian-based investors decreased by 36,000 acres, or 9%, to the smallest levels in a few years.
Munch says our neighbors to the north own a majority of foreign-owned farmland.
Canada leads overwhelmingly with ownership of U.S. ag land in terms of foreign owners holding 15.4 million acres, or about a third of all foreign-owned ag land in the country. Following Canada, you have investors from Netherlands, Italy, the United Kingdom, and Germany, which have holdings ranging from 5.2 million acres down to 2.5 million acres. Collectively, those nations hold 62% of all foreign-owned ag land in the United States.
He says that many of those investments are tied to timber and renewable energy. But there are still concerns regarding foreign ownership of American farmland.
Generally, concerns about foreign ownership of U.S. farmland often center around national security and food security. Some worry that adversarial nations could use land acquisitions for purposes contrary to U.S. interests, like controlling critical resources. Others are concerned about converting farmland into non-ag uses, like renewable energy projects.
According to the survey, China owns 27% less U.S. farmland in 2023 than they did in 2020. 21. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Who's Your Ag Today? Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we look at the setup here, it's going to be a wild ride over the next couple of days. We're still chilly today, dealing with an upper-level clipper system trying to move through the northern parts of the Great Lakes and Ontario. That's triggering some cloud cover down in Indiana, and I think if you're in the northern part of the state, you're going to have to watch for additional light snow, coating to an inch, maybe, depending on where you're at, getting enhanced by Lake Michigan a little bit. Clouds go all the way down into southern Indiana with the cold air today, but I don't think we see much precipitation outside of the odd flurry or two in southern Indiana. Then we flip the switch overnight tonight into tomorrow. We start to see some significant warming, massive surge of warm air coming up from the southwest ahead of our next weather system. I'm calling at a flash melt for Friday. I think any areas that have snow are going to be seeing a lot of snow melt. You'll end up with pools of water places, sloppiness all around. Be ready for that because it's, again, ahead of our next weather system that comes overnight Friday night into Saturday. I think at this point we can see precipitation spread over the entire Hoosier State. Question is, though, what type? I feel that there's a chance for some good sloppy wet snow over a good 50 to 60% of the state. Other models don't necessarily agree with me, so we're looking at liquid equivalent precipitation anywhere from a tenth to probably half an inch. I'm going to say a coating to an inch or two of sloppy wet snow, especially in northern parts of Indiana, and in southern Indiana we could see rain or wet snow yet. I think the key here is even if it's all rain, it just adds to our sloppiness. The wet snow adds to our sloppiness, and we're looking at a flash freeze coming in behind. So once this precipitation is done, say Saturday afternoon, we start to see temperatures drop. Sunday is much colder, and we're going to be into the deep freeze for Sunday through next Wednesday, Thursday, well below normal, single-digit highs, well below zero overnight lows. So anything that had melted, you got this pool of water, you've got all of the sloppiness, congratulations. Now you've got ice pools and ice puddles everywhere. So I think in my mind, whether the Friday night, Saturday event is rain or wet snow, it doesn't matter. It's a sloppy mess ahead of a flash freeze. That freeze is in here all week next week. I think we might see temperatures ease ever so slightly late, but it's going to be just in time for another weather system to try and lift up into the area for Saturday the 25th. Rain and potentially wet snow coming back into southern Indiana and Ohio those days, followed by, you guessed it, more cold air. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It it's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Corn higher, soybeans down, wheat in the middle. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and I'll have settlements at the end of our report. We begin with market analysis from Tom Fritz of EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Follow through buying, especially in the corn market. Beans back and forth, but ending a little bit lower, even with a pretty doggone good NOPA crush report. So why the pressure on beans? We'll start there, Tom.
Well, I think the pressure on beans, yeah, it was an excellent crush report. And that in turn helps the spread in beans. You look at old crop beans down, what, 5 to 6, new crop beans down, what, 9 to 10. So I think that helped the spread. But the bottom line is meal market. Meal market suffers from that big crush report. They're still crushing for bean oil. And so when you're doing a big crush for bean oil, you're creating excessive meal stocks. And so the meal market's going to suffer. And when the meal market suffers, and soybean oil, it got trimmed from its highs. But meal is always, the dominant product over the soybean market. So I think that's why soybeans ease from their highs, as well as, it was a bullish report on Friday based on expectations. I think everybody will agree to that. But there's nothing bullish about a 380 million bushel soybean carryout. You've got a whopper of a crop coming out of Brazil. The weather in Argentina, yeah, it's a little iffy, but, some of the guys are saying it's going to change. Does it change this weekend? Maybe. There's a meteorologist out of Argentina that's been talking about, quote unquote, abundant rainfall for Argentina starting this weekend, next week, for sure, by the beginning of February. So, you add those factors together, and it's going to be a tough road to haul for old crop beans, despite these, massive crush numbers. But realize how many new crush plants are now included, whether it's the USDA crush, the Census Bureau crush, or the NOPA crush. So you're going to see big numbers, but bottom line is they're crushing for bean oil, and so that creates your excessive meal stocks. Corn, we're still trading the report from Friday. That was a very bullish report, and basically what it says is we need some weather premium in old crop corn in case something happens with the second season Brazilian corn crop. And that's, we're not even planning that yet. So, you've got the speculators, whether it's the large specs or the managed money, coming after nearby corn because it's going to be the March contract and the May contract that's going to feel the effects of, how goes the growing season for second season Brazilian corn. So these guys are just going to get longer and longer. I think 480 initially is a resistance area, but I've got a technical count March corn going to, it's like 492. And this is a count from the correction we saw back in mid-October. So, even the smart guys are saying March corn, May corn, excellent chance of trading $5. So, with that said, the funds are going to continue to add to their long positions. And if you look at new crop corn, barely higher on the day, and the attitude is we're going to see 2 to 4 million more acres of corn for the new crop. You go back to baseline projections that came out in November. I think they talked about an increase of, it was either 1.3 million or 1.7 million. I haven't seen those numbers in a while, but I know they talked about an increase. But, given this report we saw on Friday, you can be sure you're going to see even a bigger increase. Wheat struggles. I don't know what to tell you about it. I'm having a hard time figuring this market out just because of the vacillations in the spreads, the intermarket spreads. Here you see Chicago wheat fractionally higher, whereas Kansas City wheat is noticeably lower. Minneapolis wheat is just kind of mixed. Bear spreads working over there. You know, I understand the wheat market. We really have no business. And world business right now is extremely slow for wheat. And we've got plenty of wheat. The world has plenty of wheat. You know, we talk about, well, Russia's winter wheat crop may be dramatically lower. They'll make up for it with spring wheat. So, but, you know, the bottom line to the wheat market right now is just business is very, very slow, not only for the U.S., but for the entire world. It's slow. So I'm thinking the wheat market for the time being, put your trading shoes on. It's going nowhere.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is at EFG Group in Chicago. On the hat, Wednesday, farm market review settlements. March corn up 4.25. It ended at 4.78¾. 3.25 gain on the May, 4.88. In July, up 3 cents, 4.92. Down a little in beans. March, 10.42¾. 4.75 lower, 6 cents lower. Lower on the May beans, 10.55¼. July, 10.66, 6.5 lower. And March wheat up 0.75¢, 5.47. Meats mostly higher. February live cattle up $1.12 at $198.52. Feb lean hogs down $0.50, 83.12. But deferred contracts up April at 52 cents higher, 91.02. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.